Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Thanks, kids, for being so patient with us. And I did neglect to say one share for joy that I was meant to read, but I'll read it now. Leanna DeMarco received a kidney transplant and has undergone major change in life over this past year. So she is thankful to God for that. Okay. Well, it is it's fall, which means for many of us, it's kind of a new year. If you're going back to school, it's kind of your new school year. And some of you have work calendars that start in the fall. And for a church, church ministry kind of goes from fall to fall. This is kind of our new year. And we're at the 18-month point or so. It's hard to keep track. But 18-month point or so of this pandemic. And this is kickoff Sunday, where we kind of as a family and as a church set the tone for the year of ministry. So what to speak on for a morning such as this? And this is what God laid on my heart to speak on this morning. So a one-point sermon, and here it is. We've made it this far. We've made it this far. With God's help, we're still here. We're still here. Amen. We've made it this far. Church, we're still believing. We're still trusting in that cross. We're still loving God and loving neighbor. We're still sharing the glory of God here in Etobicoke and around the world. We're still here, church. That's something to celebrate. 18 months into a pandemic, we are still here. We're not dead. Not yet. Not yet. Randy, what you said was so beautiful. We're not dead yet. Nope. This church is still declaring the glory of Christ in Etobicoke and around the world. And what the scriptures tell us to do as we persevere through trials is to glory in it, to celebrate it. Take a look at what it says here. Romans 5:3-5. It says, we also glory in our sufferings. We glory in our sufferings. Why? Because we know that suffering produces in us perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We can glory and celebrate through suffering because God has done a work in us through this past 18 months. The passage is telling us now God has worked in us more perseverance, more character, even more hope as we have persevered through this time. And so we are a different people now than we were 18 months ago. God has worked a new thing in us. And we can look at this verse and say, okay, we've gone through 18 months of this. Can you imagine what else we could get through? Or can you even imagine what we could do if we can get through this? Because God has further refined us, given us more perseverance, more godly character, more hope. And now we are even better equipped, perhaps even more than we were before the pandemic. We are even better equipped to do our mission as a church, to joyfully lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus, to love God and to love neighbor, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he went to that cross for us, and that faith in him leads to eternal life. Church, we're still here, and we get to celebrate that. You know what else we can celebrate through our sufferings? Read this in James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. We're persevering under trial. We continue to believe. It's not been easy. It's been tough. But we are continuing to persevere in faith. And that is further evidence as we go on in life, continuing to persevere, continuing to be found in Christ, believing on him. It is further evidence that at the end of this life, when we come to God's throne, we will be given the crown of life. We are victorious in Christ. And we can celebrate in our persecutions, in our tragedies, in our trials because of that. We are seeing in our midst a promise of God fulfilled. Take a look at this promise. I love this. If I can get it to show. There we go. Romans 8, 35, 37 to 39. It says this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or coronavirus? No. And all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. God's people will persevere in faith. When we believe on Christ, he will keep us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. We will survive 18 months of a pandemic. We will survive 18 years of a pandemic in faith. That doesn't mean we won't be troubled by it. That doesn't mean even that we might pass away in that time. But we will persevere in faith when we belong to Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from his love. You know what this passage tells us? You know what else? God's people will survive famine, worldwide famine, weeks without bread on the table. We'll survive that in faith. We may die, but we would survive that in faith because nothing can separate us from the love of God. How about sword? What if World War III were to happen? What if nuclear war would come on this earth? It's not a far-reaching possibility at times, it seems. God's people would persevere in faith even in those moments. God would keep us. God would keep us. The passage continues. It says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Why is that? Why is it that those who have faith in Christ will persevere in faith even if all these terrible atrocities happen? Why is that? Is it because of our great love for God? Is it because of our great strength? Is it because of our great faith? No. It's because of God's great love for us. It's because he will strengthen his children who are in him. He will strengthen them to persevere through any trial. Whether 18 months of this or 18 months of whatever is in the next 18 months. God will strengthen his children, and we will persevere in faith, and we are seeing that promise fulfilled in our midst. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, even if the worst atrocities possible happen. What a glory that is. What a glory. We're still here. We're still here. Jim, I see you over there. He's doing this. We're still here. Amen? We're still here. Despite all the sorrows, God has given us joy. God has allowed us to persevere through a myriad of different things that could have done serious damage to Richview Church and to us individually. And I just want to celebrate by cataloging some of these things that God has helped us persevere through. Take a look at this. I want to look at this. Church, we could have stopped believing. You individually, you could have stopped believing. You could have thought, okay, there's this God of the Bible who's fully in control of all things, who's fully loving. And yet there's this pandemic that has caused, yes, the deaths of millions of people. And you might have thought, there is no way that this pandemic could possibly fit into the plan of God. You could have thought that. You could have despaired of your faith. You could have. But praise be to God. God has put something in you that caused you to know that those two things are not incompatible. Perhaps, in a way that we can't understand, God is using this pandemic in order to achieve some greater good that we do not understand. Perhaps this is a way for us to embrace Jesus Christ because the offer of salvation is available to all. And death is not the end for those who believe on Christ. Or perhaps you know that this world is a fallen world that is cursed by sin. And we expect that God will bring restoration, full and complete restoration in the future. But that is not yet. And in the meantime, we will go through trouble. But but Christ has given us a way to the Heavenly Father. We could have stopped believing. We could have stopped believing in a God of love. But we didn't. Praise be to God. Church, we could have stopped caring. We could have stopped caring about church, about God, about spiritual things. You could have thought 5 months in, 6 months in, 8 months in, you know what? I'm not really engaging with the church like I once did. I'm not really engaging with God like I once did, and I'm fine. Maybe I don't need it. I can get by without it. The church doesn't need me. I don't need the church. Everything's all good. Everything's all fine. But church, we didn't stop caring. No, we know the importance of gathering with God's people, whether virtually or whether in person. We know the importance of gathering with each other. We know that when two or three are gathered in the name of Christ, Jesus is with us in a special way. You know that when we gather together to sing songs of praise and to pray with one another and to encourage one another and to read scripture with one another, you know that God is with us in special and significant ways when we take communion with one another, when we pray for one another, when we are with one another. You could have stopped caring. Could have stopped caring about God, about spiritual matters, but you didn't. Praise be to God. Church, we could have divided over politics. You could have thought, okay, Richview Church is reacting to the pandemic in this way, and I'm seeing other people respond to the pandemic in this way, and I don't think this was the right way, I think this was the right way, and so I'm going to either create a faction of division in the church such that there would be tension between people, or I'm just going to up and leave to another church. You could have done that. But praise be to God. You know what? This is a remarkable, beautiful thing that's happened at Richview. Despite all of the difficult decisions that staff and the elders and the deacons have had to make over the past 18 months that we didn't really want to have to make, but despite all of those difficult decisions, those issues of politics, those issues of restrictions, they never became a big source of division at our church. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't people among us who disagree with us. And that doesn't mean we made all the right moves. Of course not. Not at all. Some of you probably think, why did we ever stop having in-person services? Or some of you might think, why did we ever restart them? Or some might say, you know, when we come to church, the restrictions are too restrictive. Or they're too relaxed. You might think those things, but you know what? We've been able to navigate through this without that being a major point of division in this church, and I'm so thankful to God for that. Praise God. Praise God. Church, we could have gotten comfortable. Real comfortable. We could have liked the no one knows if I'm at church or not church. How many people like pajama church? Get coffee whenever you want, church. Maybe listen to it on the subway later, church. Or maybe just skip it completely this week, church. We could have got real comfortable in that pattern. Church at my leisure. But praise be to God, church, we didn't. No, I keep hearing stories of new ways that people have given other people technology and have set up technology for others so that they could join with us. Because you all know, or if you don't know, let me tell you, that we can't do the one another's without being with one another. And here are the one another's, okay? There's a lot of them. Here's a few of them. The Bible tells us in the New Testament to love one another, greet one another, encourage one another, serve one another, bear with one another. And you know that you can't do those one another's without being with one another. And we've seen that happen over the phone. We've seen it happen over chat. We've seen it happen in person. We've seen it happen in small groups. We've seen it happen. Church, we could have gotten real comfortable without meeting with other believers, but we didn't. Praise be to God for that. And I'm so thankful for the stories of people who have come into other people's lives to hook them up with technology to be able to do this. And I'm so thankful for the incredible work the stream team has done to make these services possible. Praise the Lord for those things. Church, we could have stopped giving. We could have stopped giving. We could have thought, you know what, the church isn't having services in person anymore, and they're probably dialing back on ministry, so what am I giving towards exactly? Surely they don't expect me to give in 2021 like I did in early 2020. Surely they know that these are lean times, and I can't be expected to give it this time. Surely that would be the case. Church, we could have stopped giving, but we didn't. Because you know that giving isn't at the church. It's not about procuring services for yourself. It's not a transaction where I give money and I receive back, a church service, ministries, FaceTime with the pastor. You know that that's not the case. You know that giving comes out of our delight for God and our desire for other people to join in that delight. You know that the church is established by God to be the organism, to be the family that shares the good news of the gospel of Jesus in Etobicoke and across the world. You know that. And you know that the money that God has given you isn't for us to hoard, but is for us to steward. And so you bothered to figure out how to give online. You bothered to keep track of those givings that perhaps you couldn't give at the time because it wasn't in person, and you saved those givings up and gave them later. You bothered to do that stuff. We could have stopped giving, church. We could have. But I've seen the numbers. We didn't. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. And church, we could have stopped serving. We could have said, that sounds like someone else's problem. That sounds like someone else can deal with that. I'll just wait until things get back to normal. I'll just wait till the numbers go down. I'll just wait. They don't need me. And all of our ministries could have been abandoned, and who knows where Richview Church would be today. Could have happened. But that did not happen at all. No. You adapted. You sacrificed. You didn't give less of your time. You gave more of your time for the work of the church. We stopped focusing and being negative about what we couldn't do and started getting excited about and capitalizing on what we could do. And we've been able to do ministry in altogether new ways and in ways that will impact ministry for years and years and years to come, pandemic or no pandemic. Church, you could have stopped serving, but you didn't. You continued to work towards the work of the church and the spread of the gospel in Etobicoke and around the world. So I just wanted to take this sermon to say, thank you, God. Thank you for this church. He loves this church. Do you love this church? I love this church. We've made it this far, church. Let's not stop now. Let's keep going. It's launch Sunday or kickoff Sunday, and usually that means you're somewhere and you want to go somewhere. So we've kind of talked about the past, and I'm not going to take up too much more time because I know the barbecue is outside and I have no idea. Maybe the burgers are getting cold. I don't know. But what are we to do now, right? We've been kind of circling the wagons the past year and a half, trying to figure it out, trying to level ourselves, get into new patterns. But what do we do now? And I'm not saying the pandemic's over. We still got a ways to go here, but I mean, things will change eventually. What do we do now? And the situation we're in now is something similar to the situation the Israelites, God's people of the Old Testament, were in at the end of the exile. Let me give you some background. The Israelites were God's people of the Old Testament, God's special possession, and they would worship in the temple in Jerusalem. But because of their disobedience, God saw fit to bring foreign nations to come, destroy their temple, and to scatter them abroad across foreign nations. And so they needed to figure out how to continue to stay faithful to God, even though their usual patterns of meeting were gone. Sound familiar? Now, eventually, by God's graciousness, that period of time ends after 70 years, and God regathers his people, and they go back to the temple. And God puts a desire in the hearts of his people Take a look at the desire that God puts in their hearts. It says this in Ezra 1, 5 to 6. Then the family heads of these various tribes of Israel, Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and Levites, everyone whose heart God had moved, prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. All their neighbors assisted them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with valuable gifts, in addition to all the freewill offerings. So what did God put in their hearts to do as they regathered and went back to Jerusalem? God put in their hearts to rebuild. Now, don't get too nervous. I'm not talking about a physical building. Because the temple, we don't worship in a temple anymore. The people of God are the temple of God. We are called to rebuild. Yeah, sure, the facilities could use some work, but mainly we need to rebuild our relationships with one another, our relationship with God, the ministries of this church. Yes, we've had some loss over the past year. Yes, we've gained some ground in some areas, but we've lost some ground in other areas. And my hope is that God would put it in our hearts to rebuild. You may or may not know this, but Richview Church has these four pillars of ministry that we believe summarize Christ's desire for the church, and they go like this: worship, evangelism, discipleship, community. Let me give you very short definitions of all those things. Worship, loving Christ, giving glory to Jesus. Evangelism, sharing Jesus, sharing the good news about Jesus to neighbors, friends, and family. Discipleship, growing in Jesus, following scripture, following his word, and community, loving like Jesus, loving one another like Christ loved us. And in all four of these areas, this next year, we're gonna rebuild. We're gonna rebuild. We're going to improve the way that we do discipleship, evangelism, even worship, and community with one another. We've gained some ground in some areas, but we need to shore up some things in other areas. And my hope, church, is that you will seek God's face with us, such that we will do more for the good of the glory of God in this place than we ever could without 18 months of a pandemic. God has worked in us new things, further perseverance, further godly character, further hope. And so we are better equipped today than we were then to joyfully lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. That's what we're up to this next year. Let's rebuild. Rebuild the ministry of this church. So what should we do in summary? Galatians 6, 9 to 10 says this: let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Let's not grow weary. I know it's been tough. I know energy is low. I know it's been a grind. Let's not grow weary in doing good, because by the Spirit's help and by God's leading, we will have a harvest, and God will bring good out of what we've experienced. So let's keep going. Let's continue loving one another, loving neighbors, loving friends, loving our community, and loving our church, and most of all, loving our Savior, Jesus Christ. So to summarize, church, I would just say this: we've made it this far. Praise be to God. We've made it this far. And let's keep going. Let's lift our eyes to God for what he has for us in the future. Let's not draw back, but let's rise up. Because God has a good and perfect plan for this church. Now, how do I know that? Because I know that God is not done declaring his glory in Etobicoke. I know that he's not done building his church in Etobicoke. I know that he is not done drawing his lost children, his lost sheep home in Etobicoke. I know he's not. And so he has a plan for us. So let's embrace what God has for us in the future. We have news to share. Jesus has come. Jesus has saved. Jesus has gone to the cross for our sakes. Jesus is here. Jesus is with us. Let us be the ones in our community who let the world know that Jesus is King, Jesus is God, Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is with us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Church, we're still here. Let's keep going by God's grace. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for preserving us in this time. Lord, we know it's not because of our great faith or strength or abilities that we are still here. We know it's all because of your graciousness to us. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for this body, for this community. And I pray, Lord, that you would do a great thing in our midst in the future. And Lord, thank you for the great things that you've done for us in the past as well. Lord, we know that you are always at work doing good for the good of those who love you. Help us, Lord, to trust you in faith, to follow you, to grow in you, and to love one another as you have loved us. It's in Christ's name I pray all these things. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.